Hi, everyone. It's Judy Warner. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Today, we have Lawrence Romine, who is the VP of Marketing here at Altium, and he's come to tell us about an exciting new subscription plan we've put in place. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. So lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Hey, Lawrence, how's it going? Good to see you as always.
Likewise, Judy. I feel like I see you often.
I know.
At least every day.
I know, but only through Zoom. Right. You know, I think we all have Zoom fatigue, but thanks.
Sure. My computer does, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, thanks again for hopping in to kind of share with our listening audience a little bit about the brand new subscription plans we've put together. And I figured you've been so up close to all of this, I thought you were the guy to talk about it. So why don't you just jump in and fire away?
Sure. Yeah. Happy to do it, Judy. I do feel a bit used, Judy, every time. It seems like you only invite me on the podcast when we have some news. You never want to invite me on to just have a casual conversation. I guess I'm not that interesting, but that's okay. Mostly I would talk about our products and services anyway. And to your point, we are introducing not necessarily a new product per se. It's definitely not a new product, but it's a new paradigm in which we offer our products. So we've had the concept of subscription. Oh, geez, Judy, we pivoted to that term subscription, I want to say in 2010. It's been at least 10 years. And that was really in the context of when we launched our online community of Altium Live. Mm-hmm. And we felt you were subscribing to a community. And bundled with that, we included what was traditionally known as maintenance or software updates with that. And we called that subscription. And that's really been, it took some doing, but we did change the lexicon, at least as it relates to our customers, and subscriptions, what it's been ever since. However, overwhelmingly, if you speak to our customers, their understanding of what subscription was or is, or actually was just that. It was software updates. And in most software organizations, that's known as maintenance. Okay. So now that we have Altium 365, which is a true online application, software as a service, it made sense for us to now revisit this concept of subscription. And that's exactly what we've done. And we're introducing two new subscription levels. Now, first, let me give you a bit of definition as to what subscription is. It's primarily three components. So first and foremost, it is software updates, which is, again, historically known as maintenance. We've called it subscription for better part of 10 years, as I've said. It's a package of cloud services when we talk about Altium 365. And it's support and services as it relates to technical support. And depending on which level you subscribe to, you would be entitled to certain capabilities or services in each one of those buckets.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you run us through, it sounds like, and from my understanding, what you're talking about is maybe bringing more value to those people who have done a maintenance or subscription plan to sort of place more value on that. I know that's something I've heard you talk about, is really mm-hmm. providing value. So before we dig into what those levels are, can you talk to that a bit?
Well, sure. It's really about making it easy for customers to make decisions about the packaging of the products and services that they need, want, or desire from Altium. So the product updates or software updates, it's pretty standard, mm-hmm. Depending on which product you're talking about. So that's really not going to change depending on which level. if you're an Altium Designer subscriber, obviously you're subscribing to software updates to that product, Altium Designer. But when we start to get into the cloud capabilities, or the cloud services, if you will, with regard to Altium 365, there is scaling there. So as an example, if you look at Altium 365, and we sort of look at it in seven distinct buckets of capability. So mechanical integration, as an example, data management, library capabilities. Depending on which level you subscribe to, you would be entitled to either more or less services in that regard. So as an example, at the standard level, which is what people would be most familiar with today, because nothing really changes, the price is the same. If you were an Altium subscriber, you're just now getting access to these Altium 365 services. At the standard level, when we talk about mechanical integration, you have it. So you would have what we used to call MCAD co-design, this ability to bi-directionally exchange information from the Altium Designer domain interface to a mechanical application. So Creo supported, SolidWorks obviously supported, and Inventor currently supported. And at the standard level, you get that bi-directional capability, absolutely. But when you move into the pro level, you get some additional capabilities. So as an example, you would get the standard capabilities, of course, but then you would also get the added capability of exchanging copper and via information, as an example. So this would facilitate if a customer, for example, needed to do some thermal analysis on the mechanical side, that would absolutely cause them to want to look at the professional subscription level. Another example would be, again, in the mechanical domain, where you could, at the pro level, also get RigidFlex information exchanged bi-directionally from your Altium Designer environment to the mechanical environment that you're using. And that's just one example. But at the standard level, you get a whole host of capabilities, but you just get more of those capabilities in the pro level. And then, oh, go ahead, Judy. Don't mean to cut you off.
No, I think my question around that is how do you see that being a fit for specific design engineer groups? So in other words, it sounds like, you know, one is richer from, you know, maybe complex designs or different kinds of designs, and maybe where data management in a very disciplined way, that those features. So how do you sort of sort out how this splits off, you know, what, who fits for what sort of demographically? How do you identify that?
So I guess you're asking like who would be the sort of ideal customer for each level?
Yes.
Well, we did try to package it in such a way that we could appeal to a persona, where, you know, the standard level is really more geared towards, we have a lot of customers that are small organizations. It's really where we've made our name. And then those organizations grow. This is how we got into all, and won't mention any of the household names that we do business with, but many of them, and they are household names, started with a single license. Some of them started on one, famously, which is now a very large name, started on Kickstarter. We sold them a single license. And that's how Altium's really made our name, which is, you know, we don't discriminate, right? We'll do business with anybody. And they then grow. So while we really tried to package up standard to suit that sort of ideal customer profile, that classic sort of 1 to 3 licensed user, I see many reasons at the pro level that maybe that persona may want to step up. One of those being, as an example, maybe they feel that the price difference is justified just to get priority technical support. Or perhaps maybe they see enough value in just the mechanical elements, or maybe just the library management capabilities to justify that cost. And the cost is not significant. Today, our standard subscription, even before 365, was $19.95 US. Of course, we have local pricing. And that price is unchanged. It's still $19.95 US. You just now get access to Altium 365 capabilities at the standard level for that same price. So nothing changes. The professional subscription level is $2.995 US. So we're only talking about $1,000 a year. So I could very well see an organization saying, look, for $1,000 a year, mechanical integration with RigidFlex, with copper, with VIA information, absolutely justified. And I think that's a very Altium approach to pricing. You know, we very much, you know, are make it easy to proposition, easy to understand, easy to access, and we really try to make it a bang for your buck pricing. And I think we've done so. I think for what you get in $19.95 is a hell of a value, and what you get for $29.95, quite frankly, is probably even more of a value.
Yeah, especially like you said, you might just want the extra love on the technical support side.
That's right.
If you are doing a lot of designs a year and, you know, when you need some answers, you need them quickly. So, well, I know that in the background, we're talking about doing additional levels to this.
Right.
So can you talk about, you know, sort of, I know it's still wet cement. We're not there yet, but can you talk about when, say, our listeners should expect to see some of those and how many more levels and, you know, anything you can share.
Mm-hmm. Well, currently there's three levels that we have on our sort of to-do list, if you will. And we are looking to introduce at least one new level, which would be above. And I'm not really comfortable revealing the name because I just know it'll change. And if I say it, you guys, they'll hold me to it. But that's slated for April timeframe. But
okay.
begin to think, if you look at the standard being really around just accessing sort of standard level library capability, standard level collaboration, and commenting capabilities. Then if you move into pro, you get much more into sort of advanced collaboration and sort of what we would call stateful data management. So adding states to your data. Then the next level up would be really much more around process. So edging closer to what we have with Nexus, when we talk about those that are sort of process centric. That, as I said, would look to release something in the April timeframe.
Okay. Now, I think when people hear the words subscription, you know, they're like, oh no, what are they going to do? Or if they're SaaS based. So does this mean our pricing structure across the board is going to change? Are we going to start telling people who have perpetual or on-premise licenses they can't have it anymore? We're going to force them into something they don't like. I think we need to dispel that right up front.
Yep. No, the answer would be no. You know, say what you will about Altium. I've been here a long time. You know that, Judy. I don't recall, and maybe even to a fault, any time we've really ever removed anything from anyone. You know, we have a real track record of, I think we give a lot for what we charge, certainly relative to most of our competitors, mainstream competitors. But no, we're not looking to move anybody off of perpetual licensing. While we're introducing subscription plans, as you can see, we haven't changed the price model at all. Those customers that own perpetual licensing that were paying subscription to begin with, nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is they actually get more stuff. And quite frankly, I think more stuff that really gets at the heart of where there's some real problems that have existed in the industry that Altium 365 uniquely addresses. And quite frankly, solutions to those problems that they can only get from Altium 365. So while I'm a marketing person and I'm paid to, you know, make things appear rosy and bright, in this case, it's not that hard because quite frankly, paying the same, you're just getting more stuff. Now, whether or not you choose to take advantage of it, that's entirely on you. But, you know, we're going to be looking to do whatever we can to empower you, to enable you to absorb that technology and use it, obviously.
So as the VP of marketing at Altium, and you have been here for a long time and you've seen a lot of changes over those years. Heck, I've seen a lot just in the 4 years I've been here, but you've really seen a lot of life and changes go by through this organization. Mm-hmm. When you sort of think about this, you know, inflection point across, mm-hmm. you know, your tenure here at Altium, what's it significant in your mind, significant about yeah. this change in your mm-hmm. mind?
I think that this is actually one of the most pivotal moments in Altium's history. And I've been here for about half of it. So 16 years now, Altium's 35. So a little less than half, but long time. And I was here with 3D. I was here when we did a lot of these things. And look, Altium, we've really made our mark on the industry and grown aggressively through having a better mousetrap, but it was still a mousetrap. Now, if you could bear with me, mostly what we sell is a bit of a Me Too product, I have to say. But people choose it because it is a better mousetrap. It's a more efficient proposition. So primarily what I'm referring to is unified design. That's really how Altium has made their mark in the industry to this point, which is this concept of singular application, concept of manufacture, all inclusive, easy to understand pricing. It's an efficient workflow. It's tightly coupled between the various elements of the design process. And it really provides a turnkey process, if you will, design process. But it's
and
really,
a beautiful user interface. To
well,
boot.
Well, that's right. And it's elegantly, the UX is elegant and it's certainly the most modern product in the market space. If you just look at it and you use it, but at the end of the day, could any sort of hotshot designer or engineer pick up any product and design any product? Could they pick up any design tool? And the answer is yes. Now, would they prefer to do it with Altium Designer? Well, obviously the results of Altium over the years suggest that the plurality of engineers say yes and designers say yes. And we know it, Judy. We've said those that get to choose Altium Designer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's, as you know, that's how we've made our mark, which is doing business with the actual users of the software. However, if we look at why engineers and designers still miss their milestones, okay, and we all know this classic, cheaper, smaller, faster. You can pick two. I mean, I've yet to find that not apply. And mostly, and I've said this when I was just a sales guy, I remember talking to engineers, I'd ask them, well, hey, how many time to market goals have you missed? Release dates have you missed in your career? And if they said anything other than all of them, I knew they were lying. Right?
It's so true.
Yeah. So when we say, you know, cheaper, smaller, faster, the reality is you can have two, but it's never the one that's on time primarily. And I just read a paper and I found out why. And this was based on case studies where they reviewed a number of organizations in their pursuit of product development and measured them against those three targets, cheaper, smaller, faster. So quality, cost, and time. And in each case study they researched, what they found was features or quality of the product were always considered first and were always typically met. Cost was then considered, and then time was always considered after the fact. Hmm. And the reason for that is because these organizations and these individuals are making decisions without all of the information. And if you think about how linear that is, right? So if we say features almost always are met, then cost, then time, and that was very consistent. It makes perfect sense. If you think about what happens as soon as marketing develops a product spec, it goes to the engineer, the engineering team. Well, what do engineers care about?
Cool stuff.
Right. So it would go without saying that, of course, they tick that box first, right? And then once that cool stuff is put into the box, then we go, well, let's talk about cost. And then finally, time. And we know when we get to the time element of it, Judy, at the end of that design process, what happens then, right? What do they do with that design? Who do they send it off to? They send it to a manufacturer. Right, right. And what happens to that design? I have nothing up my sleeve. I've rolled them up. What happens to every design when it goes to the fab or the
goes
or the
on
EMS?
Hold instantly.
Goes on hold. And that's because, as I said, engineers are making decisions without all the information.
And, absolutely. How could right, they?
Right. And so I've said this now for a while when we talk about what does Altium Designer do? Well, it gives you a turnkey in a box. I hate to say design process, and I know Don Cantal, if he hears this, won't like that phrase. But it gives you really a nice jumping off point to really get your hand, get your head wrapped around all the things happening in the electronics domain. Okay. Mm-hmm. But with now this addition of 365, it really brings into the design process where that design process interfaces with the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And that can be either other design disciplines, like when we talk about mechanical engineering, or even other domains, when we talk about the supply chain elements, or we talk about the manufacturing or the fabrication. And this is why we said, Judy, now, Naomi Hamels, who works here, coined this term when we first started talking about 365, Altium 365, around this concept of designing with your manufacturer versus designing for your manufacturer.
Yep.
And I think that's just a great example of really providing information so that you can make the best possible decision as early as possible when it counts, when you have the most options available to you to rectify problems.
Right. And before you've, you know, sealed the deal. In other words, you can be in the middle of this. I know because I ran this by Jerry Partita at Summit with our friend Dugan Carnazes. I'm like,
that's right,
Jerry, I'm going to set this up and I want you to just shoot holes in it or just see what you think. Yep. This guy's got 40 years of being a front-end engineering at fabrication. And so he's seen every job go on hold and, you know, been right there where you're talking about. And what Dugan was showing him is he could be halfway through the design, have a question about a specific area of the board or how much plating or how much clearance. And he could give him a snapshot of that design to that point, share it like a Google Doc. Mm-hmm. He could notate it, throw it back, and then go on about his way, not finish the board. Jerry looks at it, has 20 things to fix.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then like you were talking about, you just miss all your time targets because you're caught up in this email, phone call, you know, big stall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's cocktail napkins, whiteboard conversations. I mean, I've done it myself, taking pictures with your phone, emailed. You know, those gentlemen specifically, you know, Dugan, you know, when we had that panel discussion in Altium Live, when we discussed that USB-C connector.
Yeah.
And that was just a simple example of a mistake that, forgotten his name now, the gentleman at
Chris Denny.
That's right. Chris Denny, not Calumet. It was
Worthington
Assembly in Massachusetts. That's right. Chris Denny, because he sees it every day. Everybody that uses that USB-C connector, that, I think they've since now created a new version of that USB-C connector, but it's flanged. And because the flange is not reflected on the silkscreen, everybody that uses that connector doesn't provide enough clearance for that flange to extend past the edge of the circuit board.
Yep. And they were able to catch that.
That's right.
At the end of the design, because they got the fabricator and the assembler in
early before they
released the job.
Right.
And it was a 2-second fix that could taken 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So I've had fun looking at it through their eyes more than anything, because you and I are both part of a marketing machine here.
Sure. Right.
And, you know, I like Seth Godin had a book that got thrown back at his publishers. It said, all marketing are liars. But then he scratched out the word liars and then wrote in storytellers.
That's right.
And so, you know, marketing's marketing. And so I am even a little, you know, skeptical of even the old marketing that I'm part of. So that's why I threw it out to these guys and said, okay, here's where the rubber meets the road. How is it? And they came back with better things to say, better than our own marketing team. Yeah. And then I was like, wow, we've really got something here, you know? And then I just kept hearing those stories repeated, you know? And so I'm very excited about what this is going to do for design engineers.
This is the beauty of it, Judy, right? This is, I guess, where, and I get it. And particularly in this industry, you know, engineers don't take kindly to marketing folks typically. but, you know, look, if you're an Altium Designer subscriber already, this doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
Just set it up and you don't have to take our word for it. Just give it a go. I'm betting, obviously, quite aggressively, that they're going to like what they see. And they're going to start meeting their targets. And they're going to really get back to, you know, I've told the story many times, you know, and you know this, Judy, I think very much engineers don't become engineers by accident. It's a sort of it's an emotional moment the first time they design something that turns on and lights up.
Yep.
Okay. And it says hello world, or the lights blink in the right sequence, or whatever it is you were going for. For many of us, that happened at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, they go get their
Everyone that's been on this podcast.
That's right.
I've stopped asking when did you know, because it was all when they were kids, and it was all about taking something apart and putting it back together and having this eureka moment. So that's It's
that's
proven.
Right. And so I think there's also this sort of coming of age sort of moment when you go get your first job as an engineer, and you go, oh my gosh, I'm finally going to design something and people are going to use it. And I'm going to, you know, whatever it might be, whether you're in the defense industry or, you know, consumer electronics, that's the thrill, which is I designed something or I participated in a design and somebody's using it and it's changing the world in some even little way, or maybe a major way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think there's a sort of contrasting moment when they realize in that first job that, oh my gosh, most of my job isn't designing anything at all. And what I've seen over my 20-year career is that more and more of that sort of work that is non-design related is being put onto the design engineer. And this is things like obviously being tasked with costing a bomb. It used to be that you could get away with, as an engineer, creating a parts list. You just create a parts list, right?
Yeah.
Parts list. It's functional. It works. I got my little PIC microcontroller. I got this. And I throw that over the wall to some purchasing person, and they go figure out where they can buy it, how much it costs, if there's a second source. And I mean, that's can be a very lengthy process. But now more and more engineers are being tasked with that. And that's a distraction from the thing they love, which is really designing cool stuff. And 365 is a great example of giving you your day back. Focusing on the things that you like, because that cost information is going to be right there in real time at the tip of your fingers. Same thing with, we've all done it, where we finish what we felt was a manufacturable design. We knock off on a Friday, we go fishing with our kid, or whatever it is you do on the weekends, expecting boards to come back on Monday or Tuesday, just to get a call that says, look, I can't manufacture this thing. This device is no longer available. Or you've created something that is just not manufacturable through our line.
Right.
Because you've exceeded a tolerance or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great example of a problem that Altium 365 can address by giving you the information at the exact moment you need it to make a good decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, which is kind of the heartbeat behind the Easy 2, right? It's, I think, because Altium has had a history of having so many engineers on staff and people that are kind of young and scrappy too. It's like people like you, Lawrence, know how much you hate to be distracted from the part of an engineering job that energizes you, right? And it does kind of turn us into bureaucrats almost as designers, to have to spend a lion's share of our time micromanaging all these pieces. And so it's very exciting. I think Altium 365 is a really exciting proposition. And now that it's tied to subscription, and then you can just sort of, and then I also like these levels. What I've seen so far is, you know, you and I were talking about, we've been around the block a while, is being like Burger King, like have it your way, right. Like build it the, you know, choose the solution that works best for you rather than us giving you one that's like full of all this magical stuff and you don't need or use half of it. Right. You can sort of pick, which seems like an appealing proposition to me.
I think, look, what I've seen over the years is, as I said, Altium Designer some years ago through this unified concept really brought a nice elegance to the design process and connecting all those bits together, right? Mm-hmm. We had a nice proposition for library management. We had a nice, although it finally did kind of get old and we've since refreshed its simulation capability. Obviously the layout and the schematic being tightly coupled, all that really spoke for itself, and that's what people gravitated to. But then when we sort of extended outside the design domain, as I said, into these other disciplines, into these other domains, the industry has primarily tried to glue all those bits together via PLM proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And those are very heavy. Those are not designed with the engineer's experience at the forefront. And I've not really seen a lot of great success there. And typically engineers and designers, they only use them begrudgedly insofar as they're sort of made to.
Right.
And I'm not making a comparison to PLM. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is PLM was a sledgehammer when really people just wanted to be able to connect these dots.
Right.
And what I would say about Altium 365 is, and again, biased because I work here and I'm paid to promote it.
other than that, you're completely
other than
neutral.
That, right, completely Switzerland. But I'll say this, it's a very elegantly done proposition. It is not overcooked, which I think would have been easy to do. In other words, try to make it do all these things.
Right.
That may or may not have enhanced its capability. But first and foremost is, it is such a natural extension of what you're already doing as a designer and an engineer that you would just be kind of foolish not to at least try it. And at the end of the day, you really don't have anything to lose because, like I said, we're not asking for any more additional dollars to bring this capability to you. Now, obviously, we hope that you adopt it and you like it and you renew with us year after year. But I would only expect that to happen if it paid off.
Yes.
And I'm betting that it will.
Yep. Well, I'm excited. I'm very interested to know what you all have cooking in the back room there as you roll out these other subscription levels as well. And I hope that when we get maybe to April, I can twist your arm and have you back and talk about this as we begin to roll out these other subscription plans. Do you have any other final thoughts before I let you go?
No, look, I say no, and then I'm gonna speak. So yes, I do have some other thoughts, Judy. Just anytime I can get in front of our user base or the industry itself, I always do like to thank everybody for their business and their loyalty, the Altium products and the Altium brand. It is sincere when we say that Altium has made its mark on the industry by partnering with the users of the software. That is really near and dear to my heart. And so just anytime I can get in front of those folks and say thank you, I like to do that. So thank you to everybody in the audience that is an Altium loyalist. If you're not, hey, the party's open to everybody.
Well, I share that with you. Obviously, you've been here a lot longer than me, but obviously, as my role is community engagement, there is a really special, wonderful group of design engineers that are part of the Altium community, and there really is an Altium magic. And you and I both believe that comes from the users.
It does.
as much as the company. And actually, we get energized by what they do.
Well, they're special people. They very are, and you know,
they really are.
The things that they do, and the passion they have for the things that they do and design is. I just couldn't be happier with my career path so far.
Well, me too. I second that motion. So thanks so much again, Lawrence, for taking time. I know you're a busy guy, but thanks so much for hopping on and giving a little sneak peek to our listeners. Thanks so much for joining. And I'm going to share some links below where you can go check out all the things that Lawrence has talked about. So thanks again for joining. We'll see you next week. Until then, remember to stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.